Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Third Culture Kids. Today I'm here with Leia.
Hi.
And we're going to be interviewing our fellow AUP classmate, Hera, on her experience in an intercultural couple, what it's been like for her in quarantine, as well as her life as a third culture kid. So, hi, Hera. Thank you for being here.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so happy that you're here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you've been, how your studies have been, and if you can just kind of talk about what makes you a third culture kid.
Yeah. So I came to AUP about a year and a half ago. I'm a global communications major and a journalism minor. This year has definitely been a challenge because of coronavirus and the in and out of coming into class and out of class. Totally. But we know we're getting through it. We're getting through it a day at a time. And what makes me a third culture kid? So I am Turkish American. I was born in New York City to two Turkish parents. I also briefly spent about 3 years of my childhood in Paris and a year in Turkey. And every single year I go back to Turkey for winter and all of summer break. And that's where all my family lives. So I guess that's what makes me a third culture kid.
Yeah. And how do you think like your Turkish like roots and origins like influenced who you are today?
So I always say, like, I feel extremely Turkish, and both of my parents having this
extremely Turkish
background. Yeah, like, yeah. Both of my parents having this like a Turkish background and taking me there, and I speak the language. I just feel like very associated with my culture, and I think it kind of meshes into my personality. Yeah.
And so since you spent most of your childhood growing up in Florida, how do you think that influenced the way you acted at school? Were you involved in anything or lack thereof, maybe because you felt, you know, kind of isolated a bit?
In Florida, I definitely always felt that there was something missing. I did all of my schooling almost in Florida, and students there, I mean, Florida is a very culturally diverse place as well. However, I didn't know many Turkish kids growing up.
Yeah.
And this obviously left me a bit excluded from everybody because most people that are there are from Latin or South America. And obviously I couldn't relate to them and they couldn't relate to me because I had this culture that was completely different from theirs. And yeah. So I always felt just different and people never understood who I was because I was Turkish or yeah. Made assumptions rather of things that I was and
yeah. So can you talk about what we were talking about before, your little video project that you would do every morning, and kind of how that is why you want to go into broadcast journalism?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have a passion for broadcast journalism and music, but I think I got into broadcast journalism at a very young age, but not knowingly. I was in fifth grade, I believe, at my elementary school that was a K-8 center, and I did the morning announcements there. It was a very premature version of broadcast journalism, but I used to go up there in front of, you know, a school of thousands of students and be like, "Hello, my name is Hera. Welcome to AWK8 News. And today's
awesome." Yeah, I love that for you.
Blah, blah, blah. So I tell them the word of the day. I tell them the Pledge of Allegiance and the lunch menu and get on with my day.
That's mm-hmm. awesome. And so what are you doing like now, like in university?
Yeah. So I think very similarly to what I was doing as a fifth grader, but now it definitely has like a journalistic spin to it. I am currently.
Coming full circle.
Yeah, exactly. We learned. You have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, so, no, honestly, that's awesome.
Yeah, so now I'm the executive producer of The Peacock Play, which is AUP Student Media's YouTube channel that posts journalistic videos about topics that interest AUP students and Parisians and maybe just French people in general. But what I do is a bunch of students basically take the course that we offer here at AUP called Video Journalism Practicum. And me and a professor at AUP named Jürgen Hecker, who is a journalist at Agence France-Presse, a huge news organization.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we teach students how to use video, how to use microphones, and how to be a journalist through
video. So you teach this course?
Yeah, so there is Jürgen Hecker, which is the professor.
Dude, and put that on your LinkedIn. I think you mentioned that
it
before.
It is on my LinkedIn.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes, yes, we love it to see it.
And yeah. Actually, like, we didn't talk about this before, but when you, like, see yourself, like, what's your, like, ideal dream for the future? Like, you know, once you graduate uni and you're working, like, what's, like, you know, what you want to do?
Yeah, I think there's a definite switch in the industry of journalism, obviously, because we're so digital now.
Yeah, we talked about this in our class last semester that we met in, right?
Yeah. And we definitely, as journalism, we're kind of in this phase of, like, we don't know what to do and where to produce news. But I think that things on YouTube and other social media platforms are definitely starting to create features that are useful for journalists. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to go into, like, you know, communications for CNN and other.
Yes. Big- yes. CNN. We love to see it. We're going to be great friends.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So before we go into the, just the part about intercultural couples, cause I know that a lot of people will be interested in that. We just really quickly wanted to ask you, how's life been in Paris for you? Do you like the French culture? Do you not like it? Be completely honest. What has your experience been so far? Do you think it's changed with the lockdown? Things like that.
I definitely love French culture. I know that a lot of people might not agree with me, but I definitely came to Paris for a reason, and it was to explore French culture and learn the language and see all the beautiful things that, you know, this country has. And I think that it's so well preserved. And so you can, you know, take a glance at history in real life. And
yeah. French people are super attached to, like, their history
they
and
love,
their culture.
So
and, like,
yeah.
They're so fier.
But it's so good because I see every day in my home country that nothing is really preserved. And it's sad because we have so
much.
Are
you referring to Turkey?
Yeah, I'm referring to Turkey. Yeah. Things are constantly being built because they want to modernize cities. But I think it's so nice to preserve history. And
it is. It's so important
to understand you because, you know, the bâtiments in France are just, like, itself history, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think, like, the first day I came at AUP, I was just enamored by how beautiful everything was. Mm. And I still feel that way. Even if we're in lockdown, I go out in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh, what a city, you know? Like,
yeah.
What
honestly, I'm the same too. Like, I'm always walking down the street and just like, whoa, this is so beautiful.
This is insane. And before we actually preface, this is our second time recording this episode due to my stupidity of not pressing record the first time. But I just want you to mention the really funny tidbit about the personified, like, typical old French grandma in the grocery store that wouldn't know about unless you live in Paris.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely love the French people, even though they can get very annoying, especially in Paris. There are some funny things, like old ladies that they're typical French, you know, the old generation French or Parisian rather. And
they have little handbags.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and little wiener dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love that.
I don't
we're,
know
like,
who's more scared, the little wiener dog or me.
I love that, like, when we're on, like, a bus, like a dirty bus that takes you from one end of Paris to the other, that the grandma will be sitting across you and being like, close your legs, like, sit properly.
Like, sit down.
Like, and people listen, you know, they listen to that lady.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yes, we do. Like, we respect the hell out of her. And we also respect the hustle of, like, people just getting off work and they all queue in line for the bakeries to go pick up bread.
Yeah.
And everyone just looks like they had the worst day imaginable. Like, even the first lockdown, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm surprised. Bakeries are still going to be open. And some French.
Of course.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do that.
It's a necessity. Boulangerie.
Like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, people would literally riot on the streets if they closed bakeries during the pandemic. Like, it doesn't matter.
I mean,
if
that's
there was a
necessity.
Government there could be a government overthrow. Like, President Macaroni left the office. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say President Macaroni. That's
you did,
just
though.
What I
you
call
always
him.
Call him that.
I love calling him that. He's just so nervous and he's doing the best that he can in these trying times.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to hold a moment of silence for that.
Just embarrass myself on my own podcast. I like to call him President Macaroni. I don't know why.
And like,
He's so frail, like a little noodle. He looks so nervous every time he
gives an announcement. Young. He's a young guy.
He is young. I think he needs a hug. He has like the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Honestly, I would definitely hate to be won't president. Be
giving him that hug, but there you go for it.
And like, and so I guess what we really wanted to talk to you about today is your experience.
Not President Macaroni.
It's not Macaroni.
You know why? I'm sorry. Just really quick. I know we're on a time crunch. I think the reason why I've been saying that is because ever since I got to Paris, I've been craving just like really good mac and cheese from America. I don't know why. So like,
G20, they have Kraft mac and cheese for $2.50.
Are you serious? I have a G20 right down the street.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's like a subconscious thing where I've been thinking about macaroni. And so it just comes out.
You associate him with the dish.
Macaron sounds like macaroni. And I miss macaroni and cheese, like the good kind from America. Okay.
I'm proud to say it. Yeah. Say it.
Okay. Preach it.
At the supermarket.
Hera, you just like opened the door for me. Anyway, okay.
Yeah. So what I was saying is that like what we really wanted to talk to you today about was just your experience of being in an intercultural relationship and how that's like. And I mean, you have such an international background.
Basically spill all the tea that you're comfortable with
spilling. Basically. But also just like, you know, like what are the challenges of being in a relationship with someone who's coming from such a different background? And like, and not just the challenges, but what are like the cool parts too?
Yeah. My boyfriend's name is Greg, Gregory, specifically is Grigori, but he calls himself Gregory.
For some reason, I think of like Gregorian chants when you say that. I'm sorry. That? It's like Grigori's the first Russian. Paper monks would write like on paper. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where the name Gregory comes from because it was like the first notation. I'm sorry. That was totally
is that like topic. Global calm?
No, I just I know from music fact. History. Oh. Yeah, I thought you would know, Hera. Are you? Oh, okay. I thought you studied classical music. Anyway,
yeah.
Back to your Greg.
Small digression.
Small digression.
Grigori is a Russian name, so it's easy to like nickname it in Russian.
Yeah.
But in English and in other languages, Greg is just easier. So my boyfriend is Russian. I'm Turkish American. And we met at AUP. We were housed in our disgusting blue stripe building. I was triggered. On the fourth floor. He was on the fifth floor.
So romantic. Come on.
I'm sorry. We could do a whole episode on blue stripe. And like, if I ever were to become a lawyer, I already have a case file built against them. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. Blue stripe is not the move, but it was the move in my case because
we didn't have a choice. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So his roommate ended up being my best friend at AUP. His name's Nico. Love Nico. And so we just ended up spending a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. And I think at first for him, I was this really stereotypical American white girl. And he had all of these stereotypes about American girls that he obviously saw in movies because he's a film major. So all he does is watch films, American films specifically.
Right. And typically we view the other culture as how we see them portrayed in the media, unless exactly. We know someone who's from there. Yeah,
exactly. And so we started to get to know each other, obviously, and, you know,
one thing led to another.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so sorry.
You know how it be sometimes.
Kind of scared, you know, we were kind of scared to go into this relationship because you have such a good friendship. And
weren't you saying with Nico, you didn't want to like kind of ruin the dynamic of like your three-person unit and make him feel awkward? I feel like a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely like, you know, a gang, you know, like this, I want to say gang, or probably not a squad.
Yeah. Gang, yeah. I'm going to censor gang, you, squad. We'll bleep that out.
Yeah, it was definitely like a squad that we had, and we were really, you know, comfortable and good friends, and we lived kind of all together. So we didn't want to mess that up. But
yes, because you were on the fifth floor and they were on the fourth floor, right? I don't
know. Yeah, but I kind of immersed myself into living in their apartment eventually.
So you had two apartments. It's a win-win.
Yeah. And I mean, I had a huge house, but I had so many girls living in my apartment with me. So I literally just immigrated upstairs.
We love immigration.
Yeah. I migrated to the fifth floor.
Like, you know, more.
Yeah. The tea, basically. Yeah.
I mean, you go where your friends are, right? So I migrated to the fifth floor, and then one thing led to another. And then, we were dating. it didn't change anything. I'm happy to say that our friendship remained. Nico was that fabulous third wheel, but he enjoyed it. So
he did it well.
Yeah.
It was an amazing third wheel. And Nico was also from a different, Nico was American, Mexican, French. So it's like this whole.
Oh, so that's why, because you mentioned before he went back to San Diego. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
San Diego's beautiful, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. And he went back there. Yeah. Unfortunately, made me very sad, which was also really hard for me, you know, because we were this unit. Yeah. And then
Nico said people just left.
Left.
Yeah. Quarantine. Yeah. And if you ever want to come to SoCal, you're more than welcome to stay at my house. And
I'd love to.
Really close. But anyway, back to, so you and Gregory, so that's kind of how it blossomed. And then, so you guys have been together about a year now, a year and a half?
No, a year and 1 month.
Okay. So you were mentioning before that you've met his parents in person and he's meeting yours for the first time, this Christmas or this holiday season.
Yeah. I met his parents month into dating.
So how was that? And like you were speaking to Leigh and I before about like just the language barrier and things like that, and now you're actually learning Russian.
So right soon after we were started dating, his family has a house in Normandy, so I went to Normandy to go meet his parents. It was definitely a scary situation because they definitely thought I was very, very American white girl as well. However, they got to know me a bit and figured out that I was Turkish and that we have some common, you know, cultural dilemmas, I guess. But
what are they? Because that's actually like interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, long time ago, obviously, Russia used to be the USSR. And so a lot of the people that just lived in the USSR went to countries like Armenia and et cetera. And they kind of got that culture and then went back to Russia. Mm-hmm. And so his mother was from a military family. And they kind of explained
Gregory's mother?
Yeah. So Gregory's mom was from a military family. So although they're very Russian, they kind of got to explore similar cultures to Turkish. Yeah. And of course, to any Russian, Turkey is not a foreign concept. Almost all Russians come to Turkey for vacation because they don't really need a visa.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no idea. That's just super, super interesting.
Turks and Russians, although there's a huge political climate issue, like politics is not maybe friendly, but Turks and Russians, they kind of love each other in the sense that they love going to each other's countries. Mm. And they don't need a visa.
So it works, yeah. They don't need a visa, okay.
No, it's like this quick electronic thing that, you know, works really well. And so
we love a quick swipe on the smartphone. Just like a Navigo.
So his parents have been to Turkey before. And so it was really eye-opening for them to know that I wasn't just like this American girl, that they knew something about
me. Even if you were, that would be okay because you guys would make it work.
I mean, maybe for me and Greg, but for his family, I don't think, I mean, of course we'd make it work, but I think it was easier to sit down with his family and have conversations.
Yeah, because
everyone has a stereotype of America, but you never really understand what it is to be American either when you come from countries like Turkey and Russia, because it's so like Hollywood movie, you know, everything's in a Hollywood movie, but it's really not. It's really hard to break that barrier, that stereotype.
It totally is. Totally.
And you were saying that you were learning to speak Russian, right? So you can communicate with his parents better and with him.
Yeah. I mean, I think I speak Turkish, I speak English, I speak Spanish, I speak, you know, French. I try to speak French as well.
You got it, girl.
But I think that when I got there, I realized how important languages, not that I didn't know that before, but it was almost frustrating because I had so much to say but they couldn't understand. And for me as a person that loves to talk, it was hard for the person across not to understand what you're saying.
I totally relate to that.
The only way to like bridge that gap was to try and learn their language.
Yes, and language and culture are so interconnected.
Yes, it's the best way to understand.
Because like you've said to me before, the way you express yourself in Turkish is different than in English, and it holds different meaning. And same with Leigh and I when we speak French to our family.
Yeah, I think if I never learn Russian, then I will never completely understand my boyfriend and his family, and vice versa. Like I don't know.
Is he learning Turkish?
No.
You better jump on that. Be like, Merry Christmas, babe. Here's like a Turkish 101.
Yeah. I mean, Turkish, to be fair, is very difficult. Not that Russian is
more difficult than Russian. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it similar to Arabic at all? I'm sorry. I just don't know these things. So that's why I'm asking.
Turkish is not from the same language family as Arabic. Arabic and Hebrew are actually very similar. They're a part of the Semitic language group.
Okay.
And Turkish is a Turkic language. So the only language that is somewhat similar to Turkish is Azerbaijani. Mm-hmm. And so something.
Which is from where? I'm sorry. I don't know.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah. Is that a country?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. And so Azerbaijani is very similar because they have a lot of Turkish influence. And so they can somewhat, they probably understand everything we say while they use just a lot of Turkish words. And so, yeah. And so Turkish doesn't really sound like anything. So it's very hard for people to learn.
Yeah. And do you think that the Islam religion, because it is the primary religion in Turkey, has anything to do with the way that the culture plays out through forms of language, especially like visiting there compared to speaking it at home with your family, if that makes any sense?
I think like Islam definitely plays a part in like the culture and the language because
I only asked that because my dad is from Egypt and we were talking before in our first recording that I failed to record about how you say like inshallah and all these things and it just means like peace and goodwill, but you don't mean it in a religious sense. It's genuinely just coming from like your culture.
Yeah, no matter if you're a Christian Turk, it doesn't really matter. They still use it, which is the funny part, because it's obviously comes from Islam, but it's not associated really when you're speaking to people on like an informal way. Mm-hmm. So even if the girl sitting across me or guy sitting across me is a Jewish Turk or a Christian Turkish, they say inshallah, I say inshallah, mm-hmm. we say mashallah, you know?
It's that's great.
Yeah, it's ingrained into our culture completely. And I don't think when people in the United States hear these words, they definitely associate it with Islam.
Yeah, and I feel like there's always a negative connotation, which I feel like is something we can talk about at another time. But yeah, I think it's important to bridge that gap.
Yeah. And so, okay, so what advice could you give like other intercultural couples out there?
Intercultural couples, I think don't try to change that person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Greg is 21 now, so... you know, he's fully developed into his Russian culture. So
didn't know where you were going with that.
Yeah. So like you can't change somebody after they've lived this life of being Russian and having a Russian family. And so I think
because personality wise, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you guys are very different just for people listening.
Yeah. But I think I think he broke the stereotype for me that I had of Russians because the Russians I met were very in Florida. The Russians that I met were.
And the Russian you had beef with in our class.
Yeah.
We won't name names.
Yeah. They're very stereotypical Russians, I guess, in the sense that they like having their fancy Bugattis and nice clothes from designers head to toe. And they're very loud and maybe not even so friendly, but Greg is quite the opposite of that. And so is his family. They're very calm, very down to earth, but they're still very Russian. So I, you know, loved the fact that he wasn't what I expected him to be. And I think it's the same from me on my side to him because they've been to Turkey, right? They've been to the United States, but they still have those stereotypes about Turkish people and American people. So meeting me, I think they really understood that there's more, you know, there's more to this culture. And again, like what would I say to these couples is embrace the differences because it's what makes your relationship so much stronger if you're learning from each other. And I have definitely learned in this relationship. And I think,
what's one takeaway you think you've learned about yourself, maybe as it pertains to patience?
I mean, I think patience with his family was the biggest thing because they're definitely not like mine. My family is very loud, extremely hospitable, extremely, how should I say, touchy-feely. They're so warm. And like, I'm used to people when you come to their house, like head to toe, them like wanting to clean in between your toenails. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like they want to do everything.
Sorry. That's awesome.
That is literally the funniest thing anyone has said.
Yeah, but it's true. And I think a lot of Middle Eastern people would relate to this.
No,
I totally relate to this because whenever I'd go to Egypt, like there's a helper there because that's just in the culture. And I felt like she was this close to cleaning in between my toes each time.
I think like
dude, I need a shirt that says that.
I know, I literally think though, but like French people have this similarity to Russians. There's a certain privacy that goes between
definitely
your phone, you know, French have this privacy.
I'm sorry, like, just ignore me.
Sarah's dying over here.
That's so funny.
No, keep going.
Don't worry, Hera. You just like, I hope you know the serotonin in my brain just jumped like 30%, and I am like just happy now. That was amazing. I'm sorry, but yes, finish your thought.
Sorry.
In between your toes.
Yeah, but like,
oh that's God, we lost Sarah.
People are because it's again a cultural thing where we just want people to leave your house feeling nice, you know, feeling like
a belly full of food.
So many problems in your household, okay, from A to Z, but they will not show that shit when somebody's around. Mind my language, like, they will make sure that you have the best time in your house and they get very comfortable and they break down those walls. While as in French culture and in Russian culture as well, there's a certain privacy in the house unit.
Oh,
and
definitely. Yeah.
That are not
they wouldn't clean between about. Your toes.
No.
Yeah, they don't want to touch your toes.
No.
They definitely don't want you to touch your toes. Walking into somebody's house and not getting that same, warmth. And not that it's a bad thing, but it's just different.
Yeah, it's not like it's they care different. About you any less. It's just different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's and I like expected it, yeah. something like that almost. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how I'd feel. And so I was definitely out of my comfort zone. But I kind of was like, do you want to see my toes?
Oh my God, stop. Stop.
Sarah's going to die.
I don't even know I can do the outro. I think Leia.
I'll do it. I'll do it. No worries.
I'll jump in if I can honestly, get my bearings.
No, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Honestly. Oh my God. No. Okay. But okay. Seriously though, you seem so culturally aware and super international. And it's like awesome to speak to people like you because it's really insightful.
Yeah, I know.
And so
we need to all hang out us three when
definitely.
This- dumpster fire of 2020.
I haven't seen
over.
Anybody. I think like coming to AUP, I wanted that. I
you
knew
wanted
that there was
someone
people
to clean
like
your
me.
Toes.
Well, no, I wanted people to understand that there's cultures that clean toes and there's cultures that don't want to ever do that.
I'm sorry.
And I think being in France, I've learned to be more private as a person. But I just can't help it in my
really
culture.
I don't think you're private at all and neither am I, so
I'm trying to be, but I'm open.
No,
I'm
I love open. Your personality, like you're just
thank
so
you.
Warm and yeah
thank
I,
you
you're my kind of gal, so thanks. And thank you so much for coming on our show.
Yeah,
thank you.
You
so much for having me. So
and I
fun.
Love your sparkly gold tumbler, by the way. You look so Pinteresty.
Thank you. Greg got it for me.
You're like, it's full of Red Bull.
Greg got it for me. No, it's full of my coffee that I
aww.
Make myself.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, thank you all for listening in. So as usual, we'll stream new episodes every Monday throughout the holiday season. And so don't forget that at any time you can go back and listen to all of our episodes on your favorite streaming platforms. And all of our information is linked down below. So stay tuned.
Yes. And Hera, I totally miss being in class with you. This is much more fun than seeing you on Teams for our 9 a.m. class, LOL, because I'm such a bitch at that time.
Yeah.
So happy holidays, everyone. Once again, I want to shout out our new Instagram account at Third Culture Kids Pod. It's where you can find the most up-to-date information on new episodes, which, as Leia said, coming out every Monday throughout this holiday season and what's happening with us. Thanks again for listening. We will see you guys next week. And we just want you to keep social distancing, stay safe, keep your mental health up. We got this. We're almost done with this year.
Yeah, we got this.
2021 is going to be so good. And yes, so with that being said, over and out.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.